This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good afternoon, man.
Good afternoon to you too, sir. How you doing today?
Well, I don't. I'm not sick.
No, you're not.
That's a win, man. That is a win. Man, we find ourselves in really interesting times now, don't we? Here it is.
It does feel like we're living in like a sci-fi movie or something like that, right?
It kind of does. You know, March 17th, 2020, the year of our Lord, and the coronavirus is here, and even if it's not, it's affecting everything that we do as in modern civilization. So. There is almost kind of a medieval aspect to this, isn't it? Like you think of, ring around the rosy, pockets full of posy. I don't know,
right.
Man. This is kind of crazy. So even as pipe smokers, it's affecting, man, so much of what we're doing and in our community. But, man, you know, things are okay. It's funny. It doesn't seem to be affecting people frequenting our little pipe shop, and we're thankful for that. A lot of online orders, which is good. I don't know if that's people elsewhere in the country that are now stuck at home and they're excited to maybe, well, if I'm going to sit at home, I might as well smoke something that I want to take a little pleasure in. So they're, getting some care packages sent to them from us, which is we're grateful for, obviously. But interesting times, interesting times. What's it like in Houston, man? I know things are, you live in a big city now, and it's probably more of an epicenter of this kind of stuff than our little hamlet here in Jackson.
It is interesting. It is interesting. Of course, you know, my wife being in the healthcare world is we're in kind of this unique we're very blessed in terms of, yeah. You know, obviously her industry is the one industry that is guaranteed to not shut down, or rather, if it does shut down, then the entire world does. So it's kind of one of those things. But on the other hand, she's, you know, obviously in the group of folks that are more likely to get exposed to it for that same reason. But of course, you know, we're young, we're healthy. Even if we do catch it, we're fine. The big trick is really just, you know, keeping folks 60 and above away from catching it and as much as possible. But yeah, no, it is absolutely crazy. In an effort to do so, of course, they did shut down schools. We were just finishing up spring break last week, and so they have announced yesterday, or I guess it was 2 days ago, that they were shutting down schools for additional week, and then we got the word that they're going to bump that to about a month, and they are sending out curriculum. And so, John David, as of today, I have been teaching I have been a homeschool teacher. Something that I never wanted to be.
You thought you were going to escape that, didn't you?
You know, I mean, like, you know, we've talked off mic on this, and, you know, I won't go into it, because suffice to say, everybody has opinions on when it comes to schooling your kids. And I think that
They're like those body parts that everybody has. Yeah,
exactly. And valid, you know, regardless of you know, everybody's opinion.
Your body parts and your opinions are all valid, right?
There you go. And so, you know, but one way or the other, to put it like, I've just not been I'm not personally an advocate for our children to be in homeschool. That's not something that we were wanting, but you know what? Where we are right now. And I got to tell you, man, my kid's first day at the Skywalker School for Gifted Muggles has gone quite well. They are getting the added benefit that I'm sure they've never gotten on a first day of school, which is during their lunch break, which is right now. They're getting to watch Frozen 2 because Daddy needs to record a podcast. So it's just
it's so awesome. Can you? I mean, imagine a school where on the first day you get to pick your wand, on the second day you learn how to light your pipe, and on the third day you understand the internal schematics of a TIE fighter.
Yeah, no, that's what we do. That's what we do. Right. Up in this.
No, that's great. They'll be well prepared for the future.
I think so. No, man, but it is
brave
it
new
is,
world, man.
It really is. But you know what? The great thing is, and you know, I was thinking about this the other day, that, you know, in the midst of crises, I think that a lot of folks right now, they're going to their podcast, they're going to their media, whatever it is, for that bit of distraction and that bit of comfort, because there is something in the regularity of, you know, hearing the voices that you know that are going to be there, that really does kind of provide a little bit of comfort. So if you're kicking back right now, if you're enjoying your pipe, if you're at home trying to stay low or lay low rather, You know, we hope that this episode brings you a little bit of comfort and that we get to hang out with you here for a bit. Over the next couple of weeks, because of the crazy scheduling, not sure exactly what the schedule is going to be like. We know that there will be content. The show might feel a little bit differently from time to time, but one way or the other, you can look for Country Squire Radio without fail. Coming at you on a weekly. Also,
I do have to mention quickly on my end, like, you know, Bo, just, you know, you've got stuff going on with your kids and having a plan around that. I also on our end with our, you know, new daughter, we've got stuff on our end regarding that too. So our scheduling is going to be a little wonky.
Yeah.
You know, the content is going to be there. You can count on us through thick and thin. But you know, we're scrambling like everybody else. But we are so thankful to be a part of this community and are just tickled to be able to you know, try to hold it together with you guys, you know, in the midst of all the craziness. So here we are.
Yeah, and actually, that's a good point, John Dave. If give us a little bit of grace, if you hear some, you know, I'm a little echoey this episode. there, you might hear a baby screaming in the background from
time
to time.
You might.
This just, you know what? We're here, and part of being here is just doing what you can with what you got.
That's right.
But man, one thing that we can't do, unfortunately, is we can't guarantee the Lunt to Remember. In fact, man, if I'm not mistaken, this went out a few days ago by the time people are listening to this. But unfortunately, the Lunt to Remember has unfortunately been canceled.
That's right. That's right. You know, and we are using the language now, postponed. You know,
okay. Oh, good. That makes me feel better.
We are. Yeah. We're committed down the road to doing this event. We there's just so much excitement around it, and you know, and after conferencing with Scott Beidler, who just, man, great. Great guy. I really hope at some point Lunters out there, you know, get to interact with Scott. Just a really, really awesome guy. And we're committed along with Scott to making this event happen down the road. But it just it timing got us. And with this thing, we felt like the responsible thing to do for not just the people coming, but also for the vendors that were participating and everything was to postpone. It sucks. A lot of folks have, most folks have been able to get out of plane tickets and hotel rooms and all that kind of stuff. We have had a few folks that have gotten caught in that, and we grieve that because, you know, it's just... It's something we can't control, and it's painful. But we did, you know, have a few folks that were backing out, and we got the sense that we were going to get more of that. And you know, when you've got vendors coming from all over the country, and you've told, you know, food trucks and people doing craft beer and all this kind of stuff at this event that they were going to be able to expect a certain amount of folks, to not be really firm on a good, you know, a number of people that were coming to the event just wasn't an option. And so we had to pull the plug for the time being. Okay. So and we do want everyone to be safe. We want folks to you know, make wise decisions, and you know, this is with all the insanity going on, it's probably just a good time to stay home. So anyway, we grieve it because man, it is going to be a fun event at some point. Got some you know, some great folks participating, and all our vendors and musicians and, you know, all that kind of stuff, they are all committed to you know, to doing it when we do finally do this event down the road. But but anyway, a Lunt to Remember, March 28th, we have postponed that event. It will not take place that day. The Country Squire remains open for normal business hours for the foreseeable future, but you know, we will not be doing any big events for the next or, you know, for the time being. Yeah.
That's right. And still shipping, right?
Yeah, still shipping. That's right. And all our folks are, you know, clean and clear, and we're washing our hands regularly. Everything in our shop is as sanitary as a, you know, smoke shop can be.
See, that makes me feel good, man. Y'all started washing your hands. I was wondering when,
I know,
when,
right?
You know, what was going to be the thing?
It took an international crisis, a pandemic for us to, you know, to get the memo on that. But yeah, we finally got there. So you're welcome.
Good, man. All right. So like I said, everything is going to be, you know, things might be here, there, and everywhere over the next couple of weeks, but we look forward to bringing you some good content on the podcast. You know, we have mentioned last week that we've got an episode coming up doing a Pipe Culture Places, where we want to do kind of an exploration of the smoking chair. What is the
I'm
ideal smoking
about
chair?
This. Yeah.
Oh, big time, man. It is going to be a blast. I cannot wait to hear what people send in. So if you've got thoughts on the smoking chair, then send them in. If you've got memories of one, or if you have an idealized one in your head, or if you have an actual one, or if you think that this, honestly, if you think this topic is crazy, you can also write in and tell us that as well. We We love to share out your thoughts as part of the Pipe Culture episode series, and this will definitely be no exception. So this will be a lot of fun.
Over the next couple of weeks, you might get really familiar with your smoking chairs.
That's exactly right.
If you're telecommuting to the office from home, doing daddy daycare, that smoking chair might get real familiar with it. So give us your thoughts.
Yeah, that's great. Absolutely, man. This is a prime time to get very familiar with the smoking chair. We want to also, thank our patrons. We've got some new patrons in. We'll be shouting out here over the next couple of weeks. But those that are supporting this podcast, y'all are the reason. Y'all are the reason why you've got guaranteed content every single week, even in the midst of a global crisis. So head over to patreon.com/countrysquireradio and help us join the Pipe Club today and help support the show. All right. So here's kind of something fun that we're doing this week. And you know what? I say this week. I think we're looking at a two episoder here. I think this is a pseudo two-parter, if you will, of Country Squire Radio. Because, in the past, we have done a series that has been very popular called Pipe Shop Fails.
Has it been popular?
It's been popular. I mean, not Ewoks popular, but it has been very popular, man. It is by far one of the most popular series we do. And when we do this series, it was, I remember going back to the first time we did this, I think you just had like some stuff on your chest you needed to get off. Like you needed to, air the grievances, as it were.
Yeah. Get it out. You're like, man, this is, I've got pent up rage and I need to play to share it, and who are safer than our faithful Country Squire listeners to let it out.
Yeah, and in an effort not to just be punching down, the goal was we kind of took that and we kind of added some different aspects of it, right? So it's not just how customers can fail in the pipe shop, but how some pipe shops have failed the customers, and it's become a good place for grievances of pipe shop owners out there, or people who used to manage pipe shops or used to own pipe shops will write in, and then folks who have had just the most bizarre experiences will write in and share their fails that they've witnessed, observed, or perhaps even participated.
Let me tell you where this pipe shop failed. Blah blah blah.
Right,
blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
And that is the forum for that. We're so thankful for that.
yes. But I remember with that first one, man, it was a little nervous because it was we are a very positive, upbeat. We try to be.
We try to be.
Put a little good, little happy content out there from time to time. But I have often felt as though we need to offset that series in some form or fashion.
Is it time to repent? Is it time to atone?
Well, it's definitely time to get balance the scales, as it were. And so we're going to be doing kind of a two-parter here of Pipe Shop Wins, if you will. That's probably not what the actual name of the episode is going to be, but that's the working title that I've got at the moment. And rather, at least for right now, in the future, we may change this for you to kind of talk about, how your local pipe shop is winning. And I think that would be a really cool thing to do as well. We're actually going to take an opportunity to kind of give three best practices for how pipe shops can really add, what are some best practices for pipe shops today, retail pipe shops today, and how to make sure that they are winning, as it were, out there. Now, this episode, we're going to be doing it from the consumer standpoint, and then the next one, we'll be doing it from a pipe shop owner standpoint. So I'm really excited about this, John David.
I think this is good. Yeah, no, this is great. There's a lot of positive things to share, testimonies, and folks that are even looking to maybe do their own pipe shop experience someday, and that be a part of their career and future. And so, man, let's talk about what folks are doing. That's good.
Absolutely. All right. I'm so excited. Now, before we go into this, so obviously with this one being more the customer facing one, I have been tasked to come up with kind of the three pointers for this one. And I want to kind of give a little bit of credit on me, right? Because a lot of people, they tune in, they listen, and they hear me as the guy that asks the dumb questions so that they don't have to, right? Like I'm the consumer that is kind of coming to the wealth of knowledge that is John David. However, aside from the fact that,
and I'm just a redneck with a microphone, but anyway,
whatever, dude. No, that is not accurate. You are the mastermind behind several of the pipe tobacco blends that are household names even of this day. But for me, man, not only, I'm kind of known as the podcast guy, but before I got into podcasting, my entire background was in retail, both from a, from a entry level sales all the way to kind of corporate overview of experience.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I've got a little chops here, and I am a huge, huge fan of retail as a career. In fact, even as we're talking about kind of what's been going on in society right now, one of the things I constantly feel like always gets forgotten as people talk about how they're staying at home and everything else is like there are a lot of service and retail people who do not have that option and who are not given that option. And so you might be listening to this after you're off work when nobody else has to be at work, but you're at work. I hear you, brother or sister. Like I hear you. I have been there before, and I know exactly what that's like. So I do want to kind of validate the folks that are out there working retail even right now. But I love retail, man. And for my first tip for pipe shop wins, I think this is universal in retail, but especially in something as boutique as pipe.
Yeah.
And that is that experience is everything.
Hmm.
It is everything.
Hmm.
Now, I've said this before whenever I've talked about, you know, kind of podcasting in general and that sort of thing. I mean, this is true there as well. But people don't shop for products. Like, nobody's going to your pipe shop to buy a pipe because they want a pipe. Nobody's going to your shop to buy pipe tobacco. The reality is they could do all of that online, right? If they're going to your shop, they are going there for the experience of buying a pipe. They are going for the experience of selecting a tobacco. They are going for the experience of the community that exists within your shop or what they hope exists within your shop. And if so, if somebody walks into your shop and they don't get that experience, if they're not pleasantly surprised, delighted, or met wherever they're at, then that's going to be a fail right out the gate. But if you can actually give them that something special to hold on to, something that really kind of, will kind of give them a piece of the shop, not just the product that they walked away with, but the experience, that's what's going to keep them coming back over and over and over again. And that's what's going to have them going off and telling their friends and family.
Yeah. What do you think it is about that, you know, kind of tugs on people? I mean, we're all searching for some type of experience, right? And of course, pipe smokers are notoriously, we've talked about before, these romantic types that, you know, are a sucker for the story and the tradition and the, you know, timelessness of our hobby. There is something to that. I think you're onto that. Why do you think that's the case? What is it about the experience that draws people in?
Yeah, man. I mean, I think that we live in such a digitized world where almost every, you know, most of the experiences that we have from that standpoint are crafted, but they're digital and they're not real. And that is why, you know, when you think about, you know, how we spend our money, you know, a lot of folks will like, you know, spend 50 bucks on like a costume or an avatar for their, you know, Fortnite character or whatever, right? Like this is the world that we live in. And so, and you know, it's ones and zeros. And so as our world has become more digitized, that which is tangible, real, that you can actually feel that exists in the real world kind of gets raised up to a premium. And over time, I think has been something that has been a longing to get back to. We've talked about this actually when we did the, I think the millennial episode a couple years ago, in terms of like why millennials are hipsters rather. That's what I was trying to think of. Why hipsters in particular are kind of synonymous or are very kind of in certainly a section of the pipe community. And I think what drives that mindset of like, you know, getting to something tangible, getting to something real, getting connected with something that has history that's not either just, you know, you experience it very quickly and it just, you know, it goes away or anything of that nature. I think that really speaks to folks. And the knowledge that a boutique shop can bring and the sense of place that it can also offer, I think really, really kind of resonates with folks that are looking for something real.
Yeah, it's good, and I'm glad you mentioned that. You know, as a retailer, someone on my side of the counter, of course, you know, in the future episode, we'll talk about you know, kind of pipe shop wins from my experience. But it's so easy to lose sight of this, right? Because we get focused on the minutia of you know, running a business. Really, it's like, well, okay, do we have enough widgets in our inventory? And you know, the floor is getting swept, and the is the cash register balancing? And you know, who's ordering the pipe tobacco? And you know, all this kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, you know, folks are, you know, what's paying the bills is folks are coming in because they're having a good experience and they're, you know, they're excited about it. Even this morning, it's funny, as we were preparing, I knew this topic was, you know, coming today, you know, for our podcast. And so this morning I'm up at the shop quietly working, and a guy comes in and asked me to teach him how to light a pipe. And, you know, this is something that happens multiple times a week, but a lot of times, the little script that I've got, you know, kind of pre-scripted on autopilot just kind of comes out, and it's like, okay, well, let me show you how to do it, this, and this, and I go through right. all the steps. But this morning, for some reason, because this topic was on my heart, I recognized how special this was for this guy, you know, and that he trusted me to kind of be the gatekeeper of his, his experience there. And what was so funny, the guy that was with him, so the guy came in to learn how to smoke a pipe, but then the guy that was with him was not interested in pipe smoking at all, but he was the guy that sat there and watched the most intently.
And
he said, man, this is really special. And when he said that, that word special, he said, this is really special. I was telling him how to load it, with a 3-point, 3-part pack, talking about a false light tamping and cleaning the pipe and just the ritual of it. And, it was quiet in the shop and they could kind of hear the tobacco sizzle a little bit as it was, smoldering. And, it was just very sensory. And I think it was special for these guys. And so that's it, man. That's it. We want the experience to be good. So that's great.
That's good, man. You know, and the other thing too, I want to kind of make mention of that before moving to the next one is that, I want to make sure that I'm clear when I'm saying I'm not saying to create this one experience that is kind of like this singular experience that is true for all pipe shops or all pipe communities or anything of that nature. That's not it at all. There's a, knowing who your community is kind of like a tangential additional kind of point to this, because you want to build and craft an experience that's true to you, but also true to your community that you're going to have coming into your shop. There is a shop in Jackson. I don't know if it's still active. So because I haven't been back since the first time I visited. and you go in and everything about this place screamed premium cigar. And I mean, like high lifestyle, come in with your suit on and everything, get the cigar kickback, there's some neon lights in there. Like, and as I was kind of walking through, it became very clear to me. I was like, man, this is for somebody. This ain't for me, but this is for somebody. Right. and that's great. Like if they've got a community that kind of, if that's who your target market is and that speaks to the experience that you're trying to create and craft for that audience, that's great. Especially if it works, but the Country Squire, what really kind of, feels right to me, there's part of that dustiness, if you will, not that it's dirty, it's definitely not, but I just mean in terms of like you look around, you got an old model ship on the wall, you've got kind of these sketches that folks have put on the wall before, or that you've hung up on the wall, there's a history to the place, and I think at least for me, going to a pipe shop that you can kind of feel that history, but also look around and see people that are welcoming, that's critical as well. Because the second tip that I've got is that you need to establish trust early. Establish trust early. Now, this goes into the experience aspect of it as well. But I'll never forget, and I've talked about it on the show before, but the first time that I went into a pipe shop, I felt so out of place, it was crazy. Like, I walked
trust
in.
Trust was not established.
There was no trust established. And so I walk in, and there's a group of guys, like, all older, like much older than I am, and they're all kind of hunkered down, like they were meeting or something like that. And I walk in the door and they look up like hedgehogs, glaring at me. So I feel out of place immediately because I'm already questionable. Like I kind of want to learn more about pipes, but I don't know anything. And I'm a little nervous to even, come in and be that new guy and ask those questions. So I immediately feel out of place. One of the guys begrudgingly gets himself up out of the group of the guys to come over to welcome me to the shop, as it were. Felt super welcomed, by the way. And he's like, well, what do you want? I was like, I want a pipe. I've never really, smoked a pipe before. I just kind of, I want to learn, and it's funny because I really did. What you just described, John David, that's what I was looking for. I wanted somebody to kind of take me under their wing and educate me here. This guy immediately just starts pulling product and he immediately just starts kind of quoting prices and immediately just starts like piling on all the accessories.
Yeah.
And just like, you need this, and I'm like, man, what is this? These pipes are way more expensive than I came in here thinking they would be. Like I am completely new to this. And all I feel from this guy is that, A, he probably wants me out of here as soon as possible. But on top of that, like, he's just pushing. I don't know if what he's given me is actually good advice, given the price point on these pipes. I don't know if he sees me as like a mark, right? Yeah. Like he's going to come in here and I'm going to get him to buy the most expensive stuff. He's just going to be a one and done customer anyway. I'm going to send him out the door.
Yeah. So that concept of establishing trust, by the way, I'm going to try to find out how a hedgehog glares. That's very important.
Well, you know what I'm talking about, right?
I'm going to work on that today.
It's hedgehog is the right thing, right? Like that is the animal.
It is now that I'm really thrilled about the hedgehog glare. But yeah, you know, I think you're onto something there, you know, establishing trust with, the person on both sides of the counter, just understanding like, you know, what are you there for? What's your knowledge base? Meeting folks where they're at, you know, it's like, okay, well, you know, instead of coming in and saying, well, this is what you need, blah, blah, blah. You kind of have to set expectations first. You know, you kind of have to let folks know, okay, well, this is what pipe smoking is like, and you're going to need these things typically, and you know, and these things cost this amount, and you know, that there's a variety here, and this is why maybe they cost this and this, and that way you don't get so you know, so overwhelmed up front. But yeah, that you know, knowing that the person there really is looking for you know, your best interest at heart, that they want you to not just purchase something but really enjoy it and commit to it, and know that you're going to have a good experience, so that you'll come back and really support the hobby in the future.
Yeah, and you know, like you say, it really going into, I think, into the practice more so than the price, or the practice more so in the than even the products.
Yeah,
and then kind of going from there into, okay, this is what this is. This is an education on how to smoke a pipe. This is an education on, you know, whatever it may be. And then we take a step back, and now it's like, you know. Make sure they're on board, and then kind of go into, all right, well, let's talk about, you know,
these are your options.
Yeah. What kind of pipe you're looking for.
I like that. Yeah. I'll have to remember that. I think that's wise.
I think it's huge, man. Trust. I mean, this, again, these are principles that I feel are kind of universal when it comes to retail, but I really, especially in, if you've got a boutique shop, if you've got a pipe shop, you know, that experience is important. That trust is important. And then also, and I kind of alluded to this earlier, but community is important as well. And I think that community events are something that really speak to the pipe community as a whole. So much of smoking a pipe can be, you know, very personal. And you know, as we talked about at the beginning of the episode, a lot of folks might be, you know, chilling out at home, being able to kind of enjoy their pipe and a little bit of, you know, cerebral, intimate, mental, what's the word I'm looking for when you just sit down and you don't talk to anybody?
Yeah, solitude and, you know, just, I don't know, personal connectedness and those type of things.
Well, that's exactly right. And that's good.
Mindfulness, yeah.
Mindfulness, thank you very much. Yeah, so mindfulness is certainly prevalent in the pipe community. But in many cases, we're also looking for community. We're looking, you know, we don't necessarily have a bunch of close friends, relatives, family that might also smoke a pipe. And so kind of looking for other folks that are interested in the hobby is critical. Now, this is where a lot of times a local pipe club comes into play. But even then, you know, those pipe clubs need spaces to be able to gather. I don't know about you, but I've heard stories from members of pipe clubs around the country that have been so frustrated because their local pipe shop will not host them. You know, and it's sometimes it's because their local pipe shop is really a cigar shop that also sells pipes. You know, and sometimes,
right? Yeah.
You know, there's other reasons as well. It could be there's some bad beef between the pipe club president and the pipe shop owner. Well, cook that beef and you know, or freeze it one way or the other. The point is
move past it.
Exactly. Because being that hub for your community, I think, is so important. And that may look different, right? So if you know your community and you know that you need, you know, there's the pipe club that wants to get together and smoke the pipe. There might be a book club that needs a place to meet, smoke the pipe, and read the books. Honestly, you may have some gamers and you want to do some game nights at your club, or at your, not your club, your, not your pipe club, but at your shop. So finding kind of who your community is and what are kind of those, some connected tissues. I mean, again, think back to what we've done over the course of this series with, or over the course of this show with pipe culture. We tried to see where are the connection points? Where are things beyond just the pipe? that there are some kind of, you know, tendrils out there that kind of connect with. And as you kind of dive into those, not only do you, you know, further that relationship with your customer, but you also open up the opportunity for them to bring in friends as well, and potentially get some new customers as you kind of cultivate that community further. So
yeah, cultivating the community, I think that's important, right? I mean, so much of what we do in the pipe shop setting is build community. And a lot of folks, they like smoking their pipe, but the reason they like smoking their pipe, or at least a large percentage of it, is because it's kind of that excuse to get to hang out with friends, right? Mm-hmm. It's that thing that draws folks together. It's the reason that, you know, you're sitting next to someone that looks different, sounds different, different age, different socioeconomic background. It's the reason you're there, you know? And so you're this enthusiasm for this thing. We like the thing. We're excited about the thing, but we like even more the people that we're with. You know,
that's
a fun part, right? And that's what makes it so interesting. And so that connective tissue you talk about, building those relationships that are there, and finding the things that you know, your local pipe smokers are interested in, but also need education about. You know, need to learn about and want to be exposed to. Be, you know, facilitate that. Be the conduit for those things to happen, and it really can be a lot of fun. And what you'll notice is your community will get really strong, but then also your pipe smokers will become more sophisticated, and they'll be more knowledgeable, and because of that, they'll be incredibly loyal, and you'll have just a really strong, fun pipe smoking community there at your shop.
That's exactly right, man. And all these things really build out on themselves, right? Like, if you are cultivating that community, like you say, if you're bringing up that community, if you're bringing up those pipe smokers, then you're establishing the group of folks that are going to be at the shop, kind of displaying the trust they have for you, which is going to increase the trust for the customer that's walking through the door and add to the overall experience. So, you know, just again, those are my three tips for how your pipe shop can be winning. And that, from a customer standpoint anyway, that's experience is everything. Establish that trust early and really kind of become a cultivate the community, if you will. So yep. There you go. What do you think? Yep. I mean, I feel like, you know, maybe those were too broad, but I really, as I marinated on it a lot, I really felt like those were some pillars for me.
I think it's good, and I think this also will give folks a real opportunity to go to their, you know, their local smoke shop if they're not particularly pipe interested or pipe friendly, and maybe just kind of nudge the folks there in a direction that would be helpful for your local pipe smoking community. And you know, we do, oddly enough, but interestingly enough, we've got listeners that in the past have been interested in opening their own pipe shop. You know, and these are the kind of things you're going to want to listen to. That will make it successful, make it a hub for people that really want to learn and to be a resource. And of course, next week when we record, we'll talk about you know, kind of the ideas from the other side of the counter being a legitimate place for people to come and gather and feel comfortable and be well equipped and you know, all those types of things. But I think it's good, Bo. You bring some good things to the table, and you know, it's what folks really crave. It's the experience from that side of the counter that you're looking for, and it's why you want to feel good when you leave your pipe shop.
Man, well, you know, something that always makes me feel good,
I could take a guess.
I'll just go ahead and say it. I'm talking, of course, about the wonderful wealth of pipes that I have right now on my shelf to my right, filled to the brim with pipes from Missouri Meerschaum.
That is right, man. And of course, you know, what's interesting, Bo, we have not talked about this yet today, but today, March 17th, 2020,
what?
Yes, we're all thinking about, you know, insane, you know, sicknesses going around and how our kids are out of school and we don't know what to do with work and everything else. But today also is St. Patrick's Day.
Oh,
happy
St.
Patrick's Day, Bo.
Yeah. Happy St. Patrick's Day. All right,
lost
real quick.
Lost in the midst of all this is St. Patrick's Day, and that is today.
That's crazy. All right, so earlier today, I'd kind of forgot. We did me and my cousins came over here over the weekend, and we had what we called our St. Pastro's Day, because we've been doing like Houston, Texas themed holidays whenever we all get together. And so it was a lot of fun. But this morning when I woke up, I did put on my green shirt. So I am wearing green. Are you wearing green? Fail.
Yeah.
somebody pinch him. But I did, as I was sitting back, I think I mentioned this, I've been juicing a lot lately. So I filled up what ended up accidentally being a pint of Guinness with kale cucumber juice. And I looked at it, I was like, well, happy St. Patrick's Day. But something tells me, man, there's some other thing I can enjoy today that would really kind of maybe have a little bit more of a positive feel to it.
That is hilarious. No, man, we today, of course, like to mention our friends at Missouri Meerschaum at this part of the show. And to celebrate St. Patrick's Day 2020, they have a beautiful limited edition pipe, the St. Patrick's Day Pipe 2020. In honor of this special day filled with merriment and magical discoveries at the end of rainbows, we have put together a luminous pipe. The St. Patrick's Day pipe for 2020 is a tall cylindrical bowl with a hardwood plug and a green and cream colored label on the bottom. The acrylic stem is a golden amber with an antique brass band which caps a cob patterned shank. The combination on this Missouri Meerschaum corn cob pipe might just make you search for that next pot of gold. This is available for this lucky season. Just as you never iron a four-leaf clover so as not to press your luck, don't wait to place your order. Man, and that's available at corncobpipe.com for very inexpensive $24.99 for this particular quality of pipe. And man, this is a hand finished pipe, just a really nice size, got that Fifth Avenue size bowl, generous pipe, beautiful golden colored stem, and that the brass band really sets off the end of the shank. So man, check it out. You can get it from the source, and regardless of what Missouri Meerschaum pipe you're smoking, please take a picture of it, tweet it to us. We like to tweet those back out to let the folks at Missouri Meerschaum know we're thankful for them for sponsoring our show.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man. Pipe question of the week this week, coming in from David in Mississippi. It says, I hear you guys talking about premium pipes, and I got a couple of basket pipes, but I want to take the next step up into the high quality game. What's the best bang for my buck, and what pipe will give me the most noticeable quality smoke over what I've had before? And again, that is from David in Mississippi.
David, yeah, man, thanks for hollering, man. This is a good question, because a lot of folks do start out on basket pipes, house pipes, and want to take that next step into something that maybe stick their toe in the water with something that might be a little more premium, but not over the top. Folks come in, they might have a basket pipe, or in our shop we kind of refer to those as wall pipes because they're always on the wall. But folks are looking to take that that next step, but they don't want necessarily a Costello or a Sarah Jacopo or a La Natra or something of that nature, Dunhill. They're looking for that next step to make a difference, something that where they'll recognize a quality difference, but not break the bank. And so I think it's a good question, man. Some brands that come to mind, and maybe some lines within those brands. Obviously we talk a lot about Savinelli on the show. And there's a reason for that. Savinelli, ages their briar at a minimum of 2 years before they carve a pipe. Incredibly reputable, pipe maker that stands behind their pipes, particularly if you buy them from an authorized dealer. And, good brand. It's also a brand that on many of their pipes gives you the option of smoking it with a filter, which many premium pipes don't. And so, with the Savinelli, you'll have the chance of, smoking it with and without a filter. See, which one is your preference, if you like that or not. But they have several lines there, around that $100 price point that is really, really good and frankly, just a really good bang for your buck. But the Trevi line is probably the most popular for folks that want to get into a new pipe, a more premium pipe from their existing basket pipe or drugstore pipe. And that Trevi is great. Retails for anywhere from $110 to $120, and comes in a couple of finishes. Really attractive. Has a nice silver colored metal band on there that's just really really simple and classic, and a nice variety of shapes and that type of thing. So Good option for you. The Peterson Aaron is another good pipe. This pipe doesn't have a filter. The Aaron pipe just comes with a traditional tenon, but just very classic, very accessible for around $100. The price point there. The Donegal Rocky from Peterson also, if you want something that has a little texture to it there. Another pipe brand that we have been selling so many of recently just has really come online for our shop in particular. They've been around forever, but we've done a lot of business with them recently, and that's Chacombe. Chacombe makes a great, great pipe. Just one of the most storied pipe factories out there, located in southern France, the home of the Briar pipe. And they've got a really nice rustic line of pipes that, are going to be around that 100 to 110 range for a pipe. Really generous pipe. You get a lot of briar for your money there. Significant bowl. Something that's, really good mechanics. The quality of the drilling and all that's really good. But you're not paying out of control prices for a really, really high quality pipe. So I'd check out, something from Chacombe, Savinelli Peterson. Those are really hard to go wrong with.
Yeah, man, that's great. That's good. It's interesting too, because I remember the, the first high quality pipe that I went backwards, because I had a decent quality pipe because I was forced into one, frankly, that I never smoked. But then when I actually gave it another go, I would just went exclusive basket pipes. I think the first really quality pipe I got, I'm sure, was from your shop. I just can't remember which one it was. But great advice. And David, let us know how your pipe journey goes. I'm really, really, really hopeful that you find your way to the Country Squire and ask John David for some guidance. He might be able
to. Yeah, man, be great. Love to meet you.
Not just point you in the right direction on the show, but actually in person for that great experience.
Yep.
What an experience.
Be glad to do it. Be glad to do it.
All right, man. Hey, if you got a pipe question of the week, be sure to send that in. show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire question.
All right, man. Quick fire questions. Juice bracket. That's right. We are carrying on our March Madness with the bracket style. No, this I was inspired by my green juice that I drank earlier. And so here we go. This is the juice bracket. Just if you haven't been listening these last 2 weeks, the way that we're doing this is we are doing, instead of the traditional either or type situation, we're doing this bracket style, trying to figure out who is going to come out on top. Because it's March, and you bracket as hard as you can in March. That is the rule, and we follow the rules here. All right, orange versus apple.
Orange juice.
Yeah, absolutely, right? I feel like that's the healthier of the two.
It seems like. I think they add less sugar to orange juice. I don't really know how these things are made. I just consume them, but like any good American.
Well,
but, I like orange juice better. I'll go with that.
Orange juice, I mean, it looks like the juice that comes from oranges. Apples, they did something there. I don't know. It always, you can tell. Anyway, yeah, orange. All right, so that's round one. Next round, carrot versus tomato.
Tomato 10 times out of 10.
Yeah. You hate carrot.
I don't want carrot juice. And then also, you can't really take carrot juice and add a bunch of vodka, throw some celery in there, and call it a morning, you know?
Oh, well, you can, but I can't imagine it would be very good.
That it would be very good, right?
Yeah, yeah. If we're talking a Bloody Mary, absolutely, tomato all the way. Although I have been drinking a lot of carrot juice, if I'm being totally honest. It's like carrot and orange and ginger and some spinach in there. It tastes
delicious.
Like it sounds.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with tomato as well. All right. Okay. So that brings us to the championship round. Orange juice versus tomato juice, both equally vodka compatible. Interestingly enough, I didn't think about that until just now, but that
good
that is
point.
The case.
Yeah, that's right. It's like which morning drink would you rather have, a mimosa or a Bloody Mary? I think I'm going to go with tomato juice. And so that is going to leave me with the Bloody Mary. I like tomato juice.
Okay.
I like the savory, you add some pepper and that's fine. I love how we, kind of took this from a healthy juice standpoint and kind of wiggled it into like a Squire Select.
Right. Yeah, that's good.
I don't know how valid that was, but it just shows you where our minds are right now. So, I'll go with tomato juice, man.
That sounds great. No, yeah, I'm going to go with orange juice. I'm a big, I try to drink at least a shot of orange juice every single day in the morning. I'm a big fan of it. I like tomato juice. I like Bloody Marys, but I like a very specific kind of Bloody Mary. Like there's this carousel bar in New Orleans that makes a like dynamite Bloody Mary. I'm all for it. But I've found that there's a lot of places that don't know how to make it right. And honestly, I don't know how to make it right. I know you need, the one thing I do know is in order for it to be a quality Bloody Mary, it needs to have pickled green beans. You ever have it with the pickled green beans?
If I have, I can't remember, to be honest. That doesn't ring a bell. But it does sound delicious.
It's so good. Anyway, so I'm going to go orange, you're going to go tomato. We want to know who won your juice bracket. Let us know. For everybody playing at home.
These poor folks. Wow.
So look for future March Madness brackets as well. And don't worry, the traditional quickfire questions are coming. So if you want to get back to the normal, be sure to send us your quickfire questions. show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that's show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback
this week. Man, we got some great listener feedback. This is coming in from John Lewitsky, I think.
John Lewitsky. Good friend from Grand Rapids area, man. Part of the Furniture City Pipe Society.
Oh, yeah. No, good folks up there.
Long-time friend up there. Yeah. You want me to take this one, Bo?
Yeah, what does John have to say?
He says, I was just listening to the vitamin N episode. If you didn't catch that, we talk about vitamin N as in nicotine. We did an episode on that not too long ago. He goes on, in the pipe question of the week, Donovan T. Embry was asking about Oriental Forward Light Latakia blends. That's what I would call an Oriental Forward Mild English. This and Mild English blends are my favorites. For in-production Oriental Forward Mild English blends, what immediately leaps to mind are Presbyterian Mixture, Red Rappery from Rattray's, and 1820 from J.F. Germain, and he says, good luck finding it. To me, the king of this genre was L.E.O. from Lane, which is out of production. Not Oriental Forward, but great mild Englishes that check the Latakia, that keep the Latakia in check are MM965, Three Noggins, Cornell and Deal Good Morning, and Cornell and Deal Professor. Sorry to hear about those cold 40-degree temperatures that you're being forced to endure down in Jackson. We call that shorts and flip-flop weather up here in Michigan during January. And that's from our friend John. So, man, John, thanks for chiming in on that. Good suggestions for those mild English Oriental Forward blends. And some tasty selections there, and ones that folks ought to try. All these blends that you mentioned, Presbyterian, Red Rappery, 1820, if you can get your hands on it, and then also the Three Noggins from Rattray's, the Cornell and Deal Good Morning, and Professor. These are blends that you ought to try at some point as a pipe smoker, particularly if you're kind of surveying the Latakia world. Really tasty and well nuanced blends.
Absolutely. And hey, we always love getting the feedback in. Be sure to send your feedback as well. As John did, shout out to John. And not only shout out to John, but like you said, man, the good folks at the Furniture City up in Grand Rapids. I'm hoping to come back up there, guys. Like I'm long overdue for a visit with the move and everything. My in-laws came here like all last year, so we haven't really been up there, but the plan is to go up later this year, assuming the travel and society resumes. We'll be seeing each other soon. All right. If you've got some listener feedback, we love getting that in, especially some iTunes reviews. Head over to iTunes, write us a review. It's a great way to help out the show. Even if you don't have a couple of dimes to do it, you just want to do something that says, hey, I want to help out these guys and I don't have a couple of dimes. That's cool. Write us a review. If you do have a couple of dimes and you do want to help support the show, head over to patreon.com/countrysquireradio, where you too can become a Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club member. More details at patreon.com/countrysquireradio. You can also keep up with us throughout the week by following us on the Twitters. I'm at TheRealBoYork.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop @_CountrySquire.
And of course, the show's handle is @SquireRadio, but all that and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. All right, man. Well, we
had fun, man. Yeah. It was good. Yeah, talking about pipe shop wins. You know, there's a lot of things we can do to make our pipe shop experience better, and to avoid those nasty fail episodes.
Well, and a lot of things that I think a lot of pipe shops are already doing too. You know what I mean? Like it's I really wanted to take being that I was kind of coming from the customer side of things. I really wanted to take it from the standpoint of not a critique of this is what, you know, is not being done, therefore you should do it. And more of like, no, this is what I've seen that works really well. But they're also universal principles that I think can be applied to pipe shops that may not be in that same headspace. Yeah. So, well, but we'd love to hear. I'm sure we'll get a lot of feedback, especially from former and current pipe shop owners and managers. Can't wait to hear that feedback. And look forward to the future episode, too, where you get to share some pipe shop tips and wins from the owner's side of the counter.
Yeah, man. I'm excited.
It's going to be fun. Well, hey, man. Let's go have a day.
See you, brother.